And good morning, Bill Handel here. It is Tuesday, March 2nd, and some of the big stories that we are covering. L.A. County, record low number of new cases of COVID. The figures continue to plummet, which is terrific news. And it looks like, according to Eric Garcetti, the mayor and the school board, et cetera, that we schools may reopen actually in April. In Chicago, the schools opened up yesterday. Story of home security cameras. Now, most of us have these little Ring doorbells or other companies manufacturing them at the front of our house. And they're great to make sure packages are delivered. If there's a porch pirate, there it is right there. And it's recorded. And last year, police forces across the U.S. made more than 20,000 requests for footage captured just by Ring's video doorbell. And what this does is it just follows the Ring company's policy of allowing police and fire departments to request video from the camera owners. So I think it goes through the company itself. And when you used to see these surveillance cameras, they used to be at airports and banks and convenience stores. And now everybody is being recorded walking down the street, for example. Although expectation of privacy, you have none legally. Anybody can video you walking down the street. Anybody. And if you think that you being videoed and as you pass someone's house and there's the Ring doorbell video you going down the driveway, if you think that's an invasion of privacy, I mean, you can think that all day long. Legally, it is not. And it is allowed across the board. So law enforcement loves this stuff, as they should, because if you ask Michael D'Angelo, a security consultant who used to be a captain for South Miami Police, he said these always on cameras give us a profound amount of evidence and evidence we would never have. And the number of crimes that are solved have become astronomical because we know that. Every time we see something, the latest is Lady Gaga and her dog walker being shot five times as her dogs were being stolen. And there it is on someone's video camera. And so the police have been using this as a tool. And boy, what a tool it has become, because effectively what the police have are eyewitnesses. People effectively opening their doors and peering out on the street 24/7 and recording everything that happens. That's the kind of surveillance that is being used by the police to solve crimes and to capture the bad guys. Now, there is another side of this, and it is a story of that happened last month. A South Florida gunman who killed two FBI agents, and it happened in an apartment complex, and he had seen them approach his door through his home camera before opening fire. He knew exactly where they were. He knew precisely the speed they were coming up. It's as if the door was wide open and they came in not realizing there was a risk. So there is another side of this, but the bottom line is how many of those happen versus the number of crimes that are solved? And the entire issue becomes privacy, and the privacy activists are saying we're in a new age of excessive police surveillance. Now, we're certainly in a new age of police surveillance. Then the question is, where does excessive start? How about helicopters flying overhead? The city of L.A. has helicopters up in the air all day long, 24/7. Is that, and they're watching us. They're watching us from above. Is that excessive? Well, the argument is they don't get called until there is a crime reported, but that's not true. They fly around. And here's the other one, particularly the Black Lives Matter demonstrators. The police had video, and a lot of it was not even video, the video footage. A lot of people were videoing this, and they argued that they wanted the video because they wanted to catch the bad guys, physical injury, the property crimes. And the argument and the fear is, well, not only were you doing that to catch the bad guys, or you weren't doing it at all to catch the bad guys. What you were doing is to find out who the demonstrators were, who the peaceful demonstrators were, and so they can be recognized. Well, at that point, you know, what do? I guess at that point, the philosophy is the police are just bad guys. And they shouldn't have video surveillance of the demonstrations in general because that's an invasion of privacy. Well, it's not. If you believe that's an invasion of privacy, then don't go on the street and demonstrate. That's all. Just don't do it. Because if you think you're going to stop the cops from videoing what's going on at a demonstration and thinking that it's not even to catch the bad guys, it's to make sure that you are tagged as a demonstrator. Therefore, you're put on some police enemies list as someone who's recalcitrant or someone that we don't want out there or someone that should be looked at carefully. Then where do you go with that? And that's a topic that's actually being argued. And it's, man, everything is political, isn't it? It's crazy. I mean, on both sides. There is a lawsuit going up. And it's about guns, and it is literally the most important gun lawsuit that you have never heard of. And that's coming up, KFI AM 640 Live, everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Jennifer.
But if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like nothing changed at all?
Good morning, Bill Handel here on a Tuesday, March 2nd. COVID numbers all looking pretty good. Hospitalizations down again across the country, as well as L.A. County. 77 million doses have already been administered of the vaccine, up 1.7 million yesterday. And we just heard that Merck is going to, and that's a competitor of Johnson & Johnson, is going to take two of its factories and start producing the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which will really turbo the number of doses that are going to be coming onto, I'm not going to say the market, because it doesn't cost you anything. The federal government is paying for all of the vaccinations, but coming online. There is a lawsuit going on that is really interesting. First of all, let's start with a commercial that's being seen. And it's actually being seen all over the place, and particularly in New Jersey. So here is this woman. She puts her gun in a red leather handbag and gets into her car. And she sits on the front seat of her car as she drives to work, gun still in the bag, brings in the bag to a meeting with colleagues at the office. She then takes the bag with the gun in it to lunch, and she sits in an outdoor cafe, and then she goes to the gym, and the bag's with her. And then finally she goes to a shooting range where she takes the gun out, fires it, and the man next to her turns to her and goes, nice pistol. That's a TV commercial for Smith & Wesson. Now, Smith & Wesson, so what's the problem with that? In 35 states, almost everything she does is illegal. Why? Because she didn't have a concealed carry permit, and the ad kind of ignores that. So there's a lawsuit that has been filed. So let's start with lawsuits have been filed against gun companies for decades, and that is holding them responsible for people using guns to commit crimes. And so you've got people that are maimed, paralyzed, killed, and families have sued. But federal laws have been passed protecting gun manufacturers. They can't even be sued for liability for the gun crimes deaths, which means if they can't be sued because it stops even at the lawsuit, no access to records from inside the manufacturer. No internal emails, memos, or notes showing what the gun industry, the executives, say behind closed doors. With the tobacco companies, remember the lawsuit against the tobacco companies and Big Tobacco? One of the things that nailed the tobacco company, I mean nailed them, was under subpoena, the government, and also under lawsuits, because there is no immunity for tobacco companies that is granted by the federal government. They, the authorities and private individuals that were suing, were able to get internal records. And the argument was, you addicted my loved one and you knew how dangerous it was. You knew it. And then they argued, well, we don't think it's addictive, and that's simply not true, and we didn't know. They had it all over the place where executives were emailing each other, and internal memos were going back and forth. Yeah, we know it's addictive. How do we keep it from the public? How do we do commercials that bypasses that? And I mean, it just laid it out. It's like the McDonald's lawsuit with a hot coffee, where... Matter of fact, if you remember Stella, the Stella Awards, this is a woman who went to a McDonald's and she was given a cup of coffee. The bottom fell out of the coffee cup, and she was fairly horribly burned, picked up a couple of $1 million, which was then later reduced. And McDonald's said, well, it's just an accident. It happened. Maybe she spilled it. And okay, except there was an internal memo that was discovered that said, our customers want coffee at least 180 degrees or whatever the temperature is. And we know there are going to be an X number of burns, but we're willing to accept that risk because we want to make our customers happy. And we anticipate there are only going to be 10 or 12 lawsuits a year filed. What do you think that did? What do you think a jury did with that one? So the tobacco company got nailed with the internal memos. The same argument is being made against the gun companies, that they know how dangerous it is. You know, for example, they've been fighting locking devices on the guns forever. And they're going, and you have the feds and private individuals, in this case, the state of New Jersey, trying to get those internal memos. And I'll tell you how they did it, because it's a very clever end around that the governor of New Jersey, Phil Murphy, has done. And he's longtime gun control advocate. And I'll tell you how, and the gun lobby is sweating bullets on this one, so to speak. So I'll cover that when we come back. KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeart Radio app. Let's check in with Jennifer. It's time to wake up. This is KFI AM 640. Bill Handel here on a Tuesday morning, March 2nd. We just got some breaking news. Jennifer was talking about it. A car crash. And Jennifer's in the Imperial Valley where this is happening. And it is, what, 17 people already dead? Well, Jennifer's out there probably getting the news about what's going on, but that is extraordinary. And usually when you think of these kinds of car accidents and you see them on interstates and it's the fog or the weather and you've got 30, 40, 80 cars that have jammed into each other, three deaths, four deaths, jackknife trucks, 17 deaths on this one? 15 deaths being reported. I thought she says now 17 deaths. But in any case, let me go on. When she comes back, certainly during the break, we'll have her come back and talk more about this, whatever new information we have. She's out there checking it out right now.
Hey, I want to go, Bill?
Yes.
One of the interesting things about this, they're calling it a mass fatality crash, is that there were apparently 27 people in one SUV or van.
Oh, that may have done it. Okay, that we just got that information. All right. Well, that'll do it. 27 people in an SUV. What SUV on the planet can hold 27 people? And what van can hold 27 people? I mean, effectively, that's a school bus.
Yes. You know, that part of California, and I'm speculating only here, could this be related to any kind of smuggling activity or something similar with that many people in one vehicle?
Could be. And but again, if you're talking about a van, well, there are these closed vans, these box trucks. I mean, we've seen those, and we've seen video footage of these smugglers leaving them on the open road, and you open the door, and you have people that are just crammed inside, and in the horrible situations, some have died already, and they've died of dehydration, and they've been locked up for days. No idea if that's the case here.
No, the managing director of the emergency room at El Centro Regional Medical Center said that their belief is there were 27 people in an SUV that hit a semi-truck that was full of gravel.
Yeah, that'll do it. I mean, you don't want to get into an accident with a semi full of gravel. I mean, that's a lot of kinetic energy, and you're going to lose that fight, that's for sure. Is Jen out there trying to get more information on
this? Yes. So all I have is that it's 15, according to ABC7, 15 people dead, and that this happened near the U.S.-Mexico border. It was on I-15, State Route I-15, early this morning. And I don't know, though, what the situation is or how many cars. I just keep seeing multiple vehicles. So as soon as I get something more, I know Robin Banks is on this, too. She's trying to check and see if she can get more information. But I think it's because it's so far out there, we don't have a lot of information coming in yet.
Now, that's interesting because we have, based on what Wayne has said, it almost seems a contradictory story when you think about this. He reported, or his information is, 27 people were found in a single vehicle that is described as a van or an SUV, and then especially near the Mexican border, you immediately assume that it's a smuggling operation, a human smuggling operation. That's the assumption. But at the same time, and you would think that would be a relatively small crash in terms of the numbers of people involved.
Yeah. The only reason that I didn't say that for sure is because I didn't have confirmation, because it was said in a Facebook Live video. So, of course, I was just double checking sources on this. So I just wanted to get confirmation.
No, I understand. You're out there scrambling for this, for information. So while Wayne was saying, or his information was, you have 27 people in one vehicle. And that makes sense if you have a small crash, relatively speaking, which a large number of people have died. But you're also reporting it was a big crash with a lot of vehicles.
Well, it just says multiple vehicles. And I've seen multiple times, let me put it that way. So I think they're still trying to figure this all out. I think what's happening is, I think there's information going to the hospital and they're talking to hospital officials. I think that there's CHP out there and they're talking to them. And so there's two different sources of information. Let me see. Now there's a USA Today story that just came out that this one does say 15 people dead. And according to this source, they talked to an emergency room director on Facebook Live who said she too thought there were 27 passengers in an SUV that hit a semi-truck full of gravel. At least 14 people died at the scene and 3 were flown to a hospital.
I mean, look at the amount of energy that was used or that took place. You have a vehicle and it goes into a truck of gravel, a semi-truck of gravel. I mean, we're talking tons upon tons about tons. And if it was at speed, there has to be nothing left of the vehicle that had the people in it. And I'm assuming that even from individual hospitals, because, it depends on how many people were airlifted to the hospital. Maybe just one local hospital that they were airlifted to because there are so few people that have actually survived.
Let's see. 2 patients have been taken to Pioneer Hospital. I don't know where that is. 7 patients were taken to El Centro, where 1 person died, which makes me think that. So if you're just counting up people right now, you had 14 who died at the scene, 1 who died at the hospital, 6 who are still in the hospital, and 3 who have been taken to airlifted somewhere. I don't know where.
All right, let's take a break, come back, and we'll see if there's any more news. And we'll probably end up continuing this discussion, trying to get the latest information of this. It's just extraordinary crash in way Southern California. This is KFI AM 640, and let's check in with Jennifer. And good morning, Bill Handel here. As we end the show on a Tuesday, March 2nd, some big news broke just a little while ago, and that is there is a horrific vehicle accident about 10 miles north of the border, in which it is reported that 15 people were killed. And let me go to Jennifer Jones-Lee, who has been covering the story for us, and she's all over the place. We have yet to see any video of what is going on, and I'm sure by now helicopters, news helicopters, would be flying overhead, unless it's so way out there they haven't had a chance. So, Jennifer, what's the latest? What do we have?
I do know a little bit more about the crash site. So it's in what they're calling southeastern portion of the state. And it's 10 miles east of El Centro, about 10 miles north of the Mexican border. And just as you said, from what we are hearing at this point, it's not multiple vehicles. It looks like it might just be two. So it would be this SUV that reportedly was carrying 27 people in it that hit a truck, a semi-truck, in Imperial County. Now, apparently 15 people died in the crash initially. 14 of them were dead on the scene. Another person died shortly after going to the hospital. A number of people were taken to the hospital. That sounds like they were taken by ambulance. And then at least three people were airlifted. I don't know if one of those airlifted were one of the ones who died at the ER or not, but that's what I've got right now as far as the number of people who were injured.
They're still talking about the S. It's an described as an SUV.
Yeah.
Packed with, 27 people? I mean, that's an extraordinary number of people packed in what is being described as an SUV.
Bill?
Yes.
According to reporting from places like Fox News, as well as a phone call that I made, there were 27 people in a Ford Expedition.
Wow.
Which my belief is that is generally a 5-passenger.
No, I think the Expedition is a pretty good size vehicle, but that would be 7.
It might depend on what year. I'm actually looking at it on Ford's website.
I think it'd be
ABC's Alex Stone just tweeted that per the CHP, there was a single person on the big rig, was the driver. The person has minor injuries. All the other deaths and injuries were in that Ford SUV.
You would think so, because it's being reported that the semi-truck was full of gravel. So if you can imagine, effectively, it's you have a vehicle, in this case, an Expedition with 27 people. It's like running into a concrete wall that's moving towards you at 30, 40, 50 miles per hour, whatever the speed is. And keep in mind that if each of them were doing, let's say, 50 miles an hour, which on the open road, you do much more than that, that accident would be at 100 miles an hour with that concrete wall. And once we get pictures of this this Expedition, this Ford Expedition, it's going to you're going to see an extraordinary picture of the kind of damage that can happen to a vehicle. I'm guessing now, I'm speculating based on this report, it's almost going to look like it's been taken to one of those car yards and crushed in that car crusher.
Yeah, and I'm looking at NBC7 San Diego's Twitter feed, and this math makes perfect sense now. 15 people dead, 12 hospitalized after crash in Imperial County. That would account for the 27 people who were apparently in the SUV. And then, as we just said, Alex Stone was tweeting that the driver of the big rig has minor injuries, so he may not have even needed to go to the hospital. But that math all makes sense now.
Wayne, you've been looking at this in terms of the number of passengers that an Expedition does hold, that was only allowed to hold.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at Ford's website, and the current models anyway are 5-passenger SUVs. I think we can all agree there's no way that there's 27 seatbelts in a Ford Expedition. Nor would there be enough room in a Ford Expedition for 27 people to be anything other than crammed on and about each other, which absolutely is why this crash was as deadly as it was.
Yeah, it's going to be. We still have seen no video of it. Now, how far out is this? I know you talked about being 10 miles east of El Centro and just above the border. Do we know if this is a route that is taken by smugglers bringing people in?
Yes. I can tell you from experience that it is. And this was pretty close to the border. And it is a route. Now, it would be very difficult to get 27 people in a Ford Expedition over the border. To drive through from Mexico, it'd be pretty hard to hide 27 people in a Ford Expedition. But you also have cases where people come across the border separately and then join up on this side of the border to be transported in bulk. That's farther into the interior of the country.
Yeah, I imagine that's probably going to be it, even though we have no confirmation that this was a smuggling operation, no confirmation that it was a group of illegal aliens or undocumented people entering the country illegally. But you put all of the facts together, it is pretty hard to imagine that's not the scenario.
I can see a picture of the truck, and what it is the semi looks like it crashed into the driver's side of this SUV. I can't see a whole lot more than that because there's another truck that's in the way of this particular picture. But it's, let me put it this way, it's not as smashed up as you or I would have expected.
Yeah, it's
almost like the semi T-boned this SUV.
All right, we're done, guys. You're going to be covering this story for the rest of the day right here on KFI. Tomorrow it starts again with a wake-up call, Jennifer Jones-Lee. We are the morning team here until 10.